first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Football Podcast, show number 70, guys. Ooh. That is, and also, some people, observant amongst you, would have noticed that the theme tune's back. It was back last week, so I figured that out. Yeah, there you go. So, for first drink of the day, the theme tune's back. What is show 70? 70, is that a jubilee or a...
Diamond jubilee, is it?
No, that's 60. Platinum. Platinum, is it platinum?
What, two life sentences?
Yeah. Two life sentences worth of shows. Actually, if I was in prison, I'd like to listen to something like that. Maybe not us, but one of the better ones.
Just a bit of continuity. What they're picturing when they listen to it, though.
Anyway, we'll move on. We've got Sean Miller.
All right.
Jerome Mundell's with us.
Hello.
Mr. Michael Coxon, our resident Northerner. Dan Silver is here, but we sent him to the bar, I'd say about 5-10 minutes ago. There's no one at the bar, because it's a really nice day today, so we're all outside in the sunshine. And he's still not back. Mike Coxon's not very happy about the situation.
I'm parched.
Because he's parched, apparently, which is northern terminology at its best. He wants his drink. Yeah. But we'll go on. Right, fellas, there's been a lot to talk about, because we've had a show, but it wasn't a real show, because we had a guest on. If you haven't listened to it, don't bother now, listen to this. Performance since the last show, so you can go back a couple of weeks if you want, but performance... individual or team performance. Oh, here he is. Yeah. Finally. What happened there?
I swear to God, I've got a needle. How the hell, in a pub that's not that busy, with 8 bar staff, it took me 15 minutes to get bloody sick.
Well, I said 5 or 10, but if you're saying 15, we'll go with that.
I'm going... Oh,
right,
I've got
calm down, pour your drink. Sean Miller, performance of the week and a half.
I was actually going to go...
Team or player, what are you doing?
It's going to be Pepe Reina, not in a footballing capacity.
Okay, I don't know about this.
Performance in a... a recently banned Spanish insurance ad.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yeah, he's been banned for kind of stereotyping African tribesmen as animalistic homosexuals.
Nice. Just what Liverpool wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
did he get paid for it then?
Yeah, quite handsomely, I imagine.
It was Natter Football.
Who
chucks out some good tweets. He tweeted this morning. And I saw it this morning. Mm. And I then looked at the YouTube video. And
so that you can get a link of the video, can you?
Yeah,
it's still up.
Even worse, the African tribesmen were played by the Liverpool squad blacked off.
I could just see Martin Skirtle getting blacked up for that role. He'd love that, wouldn't he?
No, it's. I read a few comments on YouTube, and there was sort of outrage of like, it said, I'm a black...
So did they subtitle it? Could you tell what they...
No idea. It's apparently...
You've considered subtitles with English.
Apparently Reina is translated as queen.
In Spanish.
Yeah. And there was a load of people going, look, this is not racist in any way, shape, manner or form. This is a joke. I can't believe they're going on about it. Supposedly, it's just been...
Well, basically, he's presented as Pepe Reina to the king of his tribe. And the king goes, me king, you queen. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like that kind of thing. So it's a little bit.
It don't sound racist at all, does it?
It sounds shit as well, let's be honest. Jay, have you
I'm
got
to go back traditional and go
yeah,
with,
good. I'm a little bit disappointed. That was for other news, Sean.
Yeah,
that wasn't a performance of the week.
To be fair, I hadn't really thought about
that. No, you haven't, however. Cross against Sean's name. Jay.
Sorry, Dan, I have to say Arsenal for their performance at the weekend.
You're not sorry, are you?
I'm not really.
You're not sorry at all.
I am a bit, because I don't really like Arsenal, but...
You're not going for Villa, getting a well-earned draw, 0-0 Wigan, no?
No.
We'll come on to that. We've got a 10-minute section set aside for the Wigan-Villa game, don't worry.
After the stick they've been getting and the results they've been having, I think that was a really good performance from them, and from Phil Walker.
Players, Phil Walker in particular, that have been coming for a lot of criticism, him and...
Because they've been crap, Sean.
Phil Walcott's been awful, and...
Thomas Rosicky was amazing.
I've like, never seen him play like
and
that.
And to be fair, Ben Ayoun had quite a good game as well. Yeah, they both just wanted the ball all the time. But yeah, Rosicki, I hope he pushes on, because when they signed him from Dortmund, it was just like, right, it's just a player that is going to really bring something to the Premier League. And yeah. he did, but it was mostly just bench warming duties.
and a lot of cocaine, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You could tell we're red tops. I'm making a nice statement about someone that he's had a good game. Yeah, he's a cocaine addict. Yeah,
allegedly, did he import this cocaine? No, he brought it to the Premier League.
It's true, it's nothing to sniff at, but Coxon.
Norwich City, fantastic at the weekend. They deserved something off us, and they were unfortunate that we did our usual score at the end.
Yeah. Bringing a youth player through.
Well, you know, he's got a good future ahead of him.
On the Norwich goal, did you see Granol's celebration where he tried to slide to the corner flag? Oh, it's brilliant. Have you seen
it?
No, he sort of slid and just his knee got buckled. Oh, and he sort of like, it's just like, and then he tried to style it out. He didn't. It was just like, oh, it's awful. I'll find that and I'll try. It's got to be a YouTube clip, worst celebrations ever. Because some people have epic fails. I remember, who did England lose to or draw against in the Euros? Our last game, so it didn't mean much. Do you remember a guy, he jumped over the fence? Yeah.
Oh, Montenegro.
I remember he jumped over the fence and it just went mental. Then he actually thought, right, shit, I'm in the wrong side. I can't get back over this fence. But I'll have a look into that. But yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But you are actually going for Norwich City, even though.
I go for Norwich City, yeah, they deserved it. They played very well.
Yeah, but they didn't win.
It doesn't matter.
So that's your performance.
They showed how good a Premier League side they actually are.
Amazing.
They're not actually just some chances, I think, who've had a lucky first season. They actually look like a team who played together.
You can argue QPR, but
you get a lot of teams.
Say that because Stu's not here.
Say you get a Hull or a Blackpool or a Burnley who come up have a great first half of the season, but then clearly fall apart because they don't have that team ethic or they don't have that bit of class. Norwich look like they've got the proper team ethic. They've got a great manager. And fair play to them, man.
I think all the teams that have come up have looked really apart from QPR.
Well, to be honest, Swansea, they're not that far off the bottom.
I don't know how, because they've been playing some wonderful...
They play lovely football.
And see, against Stoke, they had 74% of the possession and still lost 2-0.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Stoker got that throw in though, wouldn't he? Did you see the goal? It was just throwing to crowd. Pulisic was just sitting there with an erection, wasn't he? This is exactly what I thought when I brought him. This was going to happen. Fair enough. Whilst we're mentioning QPR, mugging him off, Stuart's not here. This is out there now to the world of the football podcast.
No, you're not going to announce it.
Stuart is having a kid.
No.
Looking at the size of him, we've been thinking about it for a while, but apparently it's his girlfriend that's going to give birth eventually. But he's been eating for four for about a year, 2 years.
I hope his girlfriend's good looking, because that kid doesn't stand a chance otherwise.
I just hope she don't get hungry. I hope she's not small.
Yeah.
She's really small.
That's for another time.
But yeah, anyway. So yeah, Stuart Hall, the youngest and probably the most immature out of all of us.
That is saying something as well.
To be fair, that might be why he's having a kid, because he's the most immature.
Possibly. So I'm sure him and Jay can have a few words. Jay's already got a little one, so you could do a podcast Father's Day special or something like that, maybe, future. Dan Silva.
I was hoping we were going to gloss over this. Now, do you know what? As much as it pains me to say, it would have to be Theo Walcott's second half.
Yeah?
Akotu has been absolutely solid and brilliant this season. He had the worst game I've ever seen him play, because I think three or four of their goals all came down that channel, and he didn't know what was going on, and he couldn't handle Walcott for that second half. And he's been fantastic this season, Akotu. I've been one of his biggest fans, but he got raped.
They were getting pulled apart, weren't they, in the central defence as well. That's where they were bombing on. They were getting pulled apart all over.
Ledley King has always been known for being one of the quickest centre backs in the Premier League, and unfortunately, he couldn't keep up.
Nah.
He couldn't keep up with like that. The Rosicki goal.
Anyone would think his knees had gone.
Yeah, it was. Do you know what? It was very upsetting, because
it wasn't for me.
No, not for me. It was. But for the first time, I'd say Harry got it wrong. We've been at our absolute best when we play the two wingers. Gareth Bale stays wide. Lennon on the right. And we could tear teams apart when we play two wingers, and playing Cranchar and having
Lennon stayed on the bench as well, didn't he?
I don't
come off at all.
No idea, unless he's if he's not fit, don't have him on the bench. Yeah. If he's fit, why is he not playing? And it just, our shape.
Redknapp out, basically, isn't it? Redknapp out. It's always been useless.
No, it was the first time that we really got it wrong, and it was painful. Yeah.
Still, you've got an nice easy game coming up the weekend.
Yeah, no, do you know what I've said straight away?
You're quite glad that they've got that game.
No, the thing that wound me up most about, annoyed me, upset me the most about that game was 5 minutes ago, Scotty Parker getting sent off. Because he is the biggest loss for the game against United at the weekend. He is a huge, huge loss. And to get sent off 5 minutes ago at 5-2 down, tackling the centre-back, was stupidity. And I've had nothing bad to say about Scotty Parker.
Probably put Stefan Freund back into the starting 11, wouldn't he? And
Timo Tanya.
Unfortunately, we've got to rely on Sandro.
With Leon Hudson.
Anybody else have any rubbish?
He's a quality player, though, but he hasn't got a head. He obviously came up. He doesn't even have a head.
Hit a Halloween costume. Yeah.
He obviously got brought on second half to shore up the midfield, and he was playing as a third striker for half the game. And he's not disciplined enough. He's too hot-headed, and unfortunately we've got to rely on him on Sunday.
He's either not got a head, or he's got a very hot.
just needs to get a head, then cool it down.
Is it so hot that it's become a gas or something? I mean,
this is poor banter. I'm sorry.
Just Spurs are rubbish. Basically, is what we're making out. I actually really enjoyed that Arsenal Spurs game. I don't enjoy watching that much football on the TV.
As a neutral, my flat when it was 2-0 Spurs to go and get some breakfast.
As a neutral,
get some breakfast. It was about half 2 in the afternoon.
a bit of a late night, not
but yeah, what was I saying? Great game for the neutral. It was a great game.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a decent game of football, and I was quite happy that Arsenal got back into it. To be honest, I just don't like Spurs fans, Dan. I've got to be honest. My performance of the week, week and a half.
What you're going to say?
I've got to say it. It was Tuesday night. Gillingham basically were losing 4-2 with 8 minutes left.
Why didn't they put that game on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, to be fair, it would have been a better game than that. So they were 4-2 down with 9 minutes left, and they ended up winning 5-4. But what you won't see as well, if you look at the goals, is that Hereford missed a penalty. We got it back to 4-4, and in the 92nd minute, 93rd minute, they missed a penalty, and we went up the other end. And it was quite epic.
Enough. Well done.
See, my performance was Mark McCammon in the paper.
Are you going to...
I see what you've done there. Moving on to the next point.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how we do it in the media.
So basically, we signed Mark McCammon. When we signed him, it was like a marquee signing.
Marketing signing.
Marquee. And it turned out he was as big as
his middle name Edward or something. Go on. His middle name Edward. Marquee signing. Oh, come on, Jim. You can make your jokes about rubbish. Davey from the Monkees, but...
Did you hear that the guy from the Monkees died, passed away?
I heard this morning. Yeah.
Girlfriend told me this morning. I couldn't believe it. Then I saw her face. I've already done that once when Dan wasn't here, when he was at the bar. He likes it. He's laughing.
Do you remember that?
It's first time me and Jerome.
Do you remember the old...
And you've laughed at... Jay's laughed every time now.
Do you remember the old jokes on Shooting Stars?
Why are you Sean shouting at the top of his voice? Sean basically just got very
angry.
He got very excited there. He got out of his chair a little bit and shouted as loud as he could. Right, so we signed Mark McCammon, and when we signed him, he was in the promoted to the Championship with Doncaster Rovers. They offered him a 1-year deal as a Championship striker. We were in League Two, and we offered him a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal in League Two. And he accepted our offer based on the security that the deal would give him. So when we signed him, we thought, right, the Championship team wanted him. He's going to do very well at League Two level. We also had a guy called Simon Jackson, who's now in the Premier League. So it was like big man, little man sort of partnership. And Mark McCammon was absolutely rubbish. I'm sure we could counter sue and just say, right, you proposing to be a footballer and you weren't a footballer.
Exactly.
He was rubbish. So he's now come out and said...
Has he?
That he got sacked and he's bringing race discrimination into it. He's actually saying that they handed out different punishments based on the fact that he was black for missing training, medical treatment for injuries, and pay cuts after relegation because we went promoted and then in his second season we got relegated. So the first thing I thought was, right, it's just sour grapes because we basically mugged him off, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And looking into it, there doesn't seem to be that much evidence, but I can't. He must have something because he wouldn't be bringing it to court.
No, because
he's obviously confident in his case.
That's a big claim.
Very big claim. He's not blaming it. He hasn't blamed an individual because the manager at the time was Mark Stimpson, who's no longer manager. Paul Scully was there as chairman, but he's based in Dubai. So how much day to day running of the club he had back then, no one really knows. But it's going to be very interesting. There's a few players that were good friends with Mark McCammon that have now left the club. One of them, Josh Gowling. Ashley Cody's not a friend of Mark McCammon's, no. Josh Gowling was one of the players who actually lived with Mark McCammon. They had a house share. It was about three or four of the players that shared with him. He's now at Lincoln City, and when it first came out, he broke on Twitter. He tweeted to Mark McCammon, good on you for sticking up for yourself, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So a load of Gillingham fans then said, well, is there something in this? And at first he said, well, yeah, I think there is, to be honest, sadly, blah, blah, blah. And then he completely sort of, when it all started going mental, when it was in like all the papers, then Josh Gowling said, look, it's not my place, I'm not going to discuss it anymore. So... but that's his friend, so he is going to probably stick up for him, whatever. But well, it's going
to
be interesting.
But to stick your neck out on an issue as sensitive as this, I suppose you're more likely to incline that there is something there, because otherwise you wouldn't just sort of go, yeah, it's back your mate when it's going to come back and.
The cynic in me is just looking at Mark McCammon. He's now, since he left us, he hasn't had a league club. He's played one game for someone, and he's now on trial, I think, at Lincoln City. If I don't know where all his mates are. Part of me is just thinking, right, is he just jumping on the bandwagon for this FIFA stuff and the Suarez stuff and stuff like that? And I don't want that to be the case, because it would just...
Oh, it'd be terrible if it is.
But what's the alternative? The alternative is that Gillingham and has some kind of...
It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that he would be the only one out of all the black players that we had at the club then, and for that two and a half year period. We've still got Curtis Weston, who was one of his other housemates. He's still at our club.
Yeah.
If he'd been treated like this as well, then surely I wouldn't...
There'd be more people coming forward.
Yeah.
As well.
And Curtis Weston is a good player. If he put in a transfer request, he'd get a League One or League Two club.
Yeah.
He's not in a situation where Mark McCammon now, where he's on a scrap heap and hasn't got a club. If something was inherently wrong with the club, I'd hope that Curtis Weston would stand up for the morals and for himself and say, right, this is wrong, I don't want to be at this club. Especially when he would definitely have other options of going somewhere else. Right. And he's still at the club. You could say, right, it was the manager, because the manager's no longer there. So if there's an issue with the manager, then he should be bringing court claims against the person rather than the club.
To be fair, on the plus side, Liverpool are now in talks to have Gillingham as their feeder club, aren't they? So every cloud.
Speaking of Liverpool.
Yeah, go on.
See, seamless.
It's the synergy we have. It's just exactly. Unbelievable. Carling Cup final.
Yeah, who enjoyed it?
Oh, who couldn't have enjoyed that apart from maybe
Kenny Miller and Palace fans just thinking, oh, that's where we could have been. I was very happy when they got the equaliser, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Me too.
Because it was just like penalties.
Come on.
To be fair, performance of the week as well could go to the Cardiff centre halves because they were brilliant.
Yeah, down in man of the match though. What was he saying? He was actually quite good.
Yeah, he played very well.
There's still a few dodgy touches that went out for a throw in.
Oh, he's just so bad.
Say he's even bad, he's just so generic. He's got no idea. He's got no.
Have you ever seen him interviewed?
He's
the dullest man in the world.
He's got
makes Michael Owen seem like
stand him.
Someone really.
Reminds me actually of my favourite ever introduction to a computer game, which was Michael Owen's
World League Soccer.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Michael Owen's World League Soccer. I remember that as well.
Have fun. Cheers, mate.
And we didn't. I traded it straight in and bought FIFA.
But again, it's another setback for Cardiff and final in the big stage again.
Yeah, they don't. They just choke at Wembley. They've won at Wembley once, and that's when they beat Barnsley to make the FA Cup final, where they lost to Portsmouth. They've lost against Blackpool there, obviously, in the playoff final, and now they've got done in the League Cup final. But I mean,
to be fair, losing to Liverpool,
exactly
is
what
no
I was going
to
say. Yeah, and the way they did it, there's massive potential there for the manager, who's a very good manager, to turn around and say, right, you've competed for 120 minutes against the team that with superstars and right at the higher end of the Premier League to get out of that league, but you just worry that they might not do it because
Coxon's just gone to the bar to get another round in. We might not see him to the end of the podcast.
No, he'll probably be normal time, I reckon.
Well,
I'd hope so.
I'm nearly done. I've asked him for one for me as well.
Never mind. It did well. That Charlie Adam penalty was doing a bit, wasn't it?
It's still going.
Mind you, Van Persie hit a shot.
I actually think I've been watching the tapes of Didier Drogba, hadn't he?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Go on, Dan.
I actually left full time to travel back up to London. I was down in Brighton at the week, and I actually left at full time and just
you didn't see the
I didn't see extra time pens. No,
that's a bit of a shame.
It is a bit of a shame. And also, moving on, linking in, I actually left. I went to the England game last night.
Did you go again?
Right. Yeah, I went last night. I left at 2-1 5 minutes ago. I nearly didn't make the game. I left there plenty of time. Nice seat on Canary Wharf, all the way on the Jubilee line, making a decent time, a couple of beers before the game. Got three stops out, and the Jubilee line shut down. And it's like, luckily they diverted trains to the Metro 1 line to get us there. So I only got there with 5 minutes before kickoff.
It's when a truly fascinating story.
No, not anyway, so I left with 5 minutes to go, got home in 45 minutes with Belcher, but missed the two games. But as a performance, thoughts? I was.
All right, before the performance, Parker captain. Everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was glad that Parker was captain rather than Gerrard.
Yeah.
Gerrard being captain, he probably would have gone off injured like he would have done, then they would have started handing it round. I'm glad Parker was captain. I'd make him captain for the friendlies coming up, and I'd make him captain and start him in the team.
I wouldn't have Gerrard in my starting lineup.
I don't think I would at the moment. I honestly don't think I would. Obviously, it would depend on who's fit and who's not fit, but I don't think Gerrard's fit himself at the moment.
There was two scouts that sat behind me who were saying that the only reason that Parker was captain was because Gerrard wasn't going to play the full 90 minutes. Absolute bollocks.
No.
And then when he came off after half an hour, they then piped up and went, yeah, see, that's why Parker's captain. That's not why.
Stuart Pearce knew he was going to get injured.
Yeah, because he got an injury, you muppet. Yeah.
It wasn't even 30 minutes that he lasted, I don't think. It was 33 minutes.
But it was
someone else. Thanks,
33 minutes.
But no, I tweeted yesterday when Parker got the captaincy. I said, for me personally, any team that I've ever played in, whether it's rugby, football, whatever, that is a sort. Parker's the sort of captain that I've loved to play behind, because it might not say as much on the pitch, but he doesn't half wear his heart on his sleeve, and he puts the team first, and he's the sort of player that you get behind because he puts 110% every single game.
This is very passionate from Dan Silver.
It is, man. Plus, Stephen Gerrard's just going to force to listen to Phil Collins in the changing room, isn't he?
Oh.
To be fair, you don't have to be the best player to be a captain, which I think is a great thing. So many people just automatically assume, and it can work, have someone lead by example, but...
I thought it was important.
To everyone, like
the captains are important.
They are important.
Our standard cruise liner. Concordia.
No,
Costa Concordia.
What a standout captain he was. I fell into a lifeboat. We're going on to a completely different bit. There's no need to do it, but I thought
him and Welbeck were the two.
Sturridge, I thought Sturridge played very well.
Well, apart from that one chance
He came on straight away and took on the fullback and put a great cross in across the front of the goal. That was
I thought Adam Johnson played quite well. Every time he got the ball, he looked like
first,
he was going to...
First half an hour, he was appalling.
Between half hour and full time then.
With about half hour in, he actually started running at the fullback.
To sum it up from my point of view, I was happy that Parker was captain. There wasn't a lot wrong with his selection, but... Every time I see Gareth Barry, like players like Barry
and upsetting, isn't it?
If I was Michael Carrick, I'd be shaking my head because he's played very well for the last 2 months, and to see not even be in the squad, and there's a lot of other midfielders who that could go for as well, and see
I'd put Carrick in there above Barry. I definitely would. But the other thing I was happy with was the beast that is Micah Richards.
Started a game. Delighted with that.
He's getting bigger.
I still 100%, and that's not as a Spurs fan. I would definitely have Kyle Walker starting right back.
I don't agree with you. He's been outstanding.
I don't think Richards showed much last night. I mean, he put a lot of effort in, but. Not much return.
He can't properly take on a fullback, and he hasn't got the pace to recover. Whereas Walker's pace is so.
He might not be as quick as Walker, but he's got pace.
To be honest, right back, I'd be quite happy for either Richards, Walker, or Glenn Johnson to start right back. So we've got three players there. Whereas a few years ago we had Gary Neville and that was it.
For years we only had Gary Neville at right back. When he was injured, you were playing Phil Neville or Wes Brown or Jamie Carragher, and none of them were really right backs. Exactly. None of them really that class.
No.
Now we've not only got those three right mentioned, but you've also got Jones and Smalling who do a job there.
I would probably take all three of those to the Euros as well. Possibly, because Richards can play centre.
Walker
is a right back.
Can't be Premier League.
Johnson can play left back. Yeah. He's that versatile, and Richards can play all across the middle. So I'd probably take.
I'd take Richards and Walker, but I wouldn't take Johnson. I think he's had a good season.
You say Jones can cover at right back. I don't think he's good enough. As soon as he came on, he got absolutely destroyed by Robin.
Where's his best position? Blinding pass for
central midfield is his best position from what I've seen.
Robin had him on toast, and it's just we need to work out. But that was going to be my point. Not only do we need to work out where to play Phil Jones, we need to work out who's playing where in the England team. because we have not got long to work out what our team is. And if someone asked me, like, what is a starting England team? I wouldn't have a clue right now, and I don't think the management have a clue.
Well, where is the management? Where is the management?
To be fair, Stuart Pearce scrubbed that nice in his suit. I think you look very presentable.
Love the haircut.
Yeah. He's going to be. To be honest, I quite enjoyed the international last
night. Me too.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Great on the way home. It was full of Dutch fans singing. Brilliant.
You can't dislike the Dutch, can you? Apart from the World Cup final where they didn't do themselves any justice by kicking lumps out of Spain, which is the first time we've really seen them do that.
Yeah.
It's very hard to dislike the Dutch, isn't it?
Well, apparently all the Dutch journalists were properly laying into Bert van Marwijk in in the first half, saying you're playing negatively.
They didn't turn up first half. They didn't turn up first half, and it wasn't until the second half that they actually came out and went, right, we better put something into this. And as soon as they did, they absolutely destroyed them with some great goals.
That's great compared to some of the, like, we work in the office with some of them, so I don't mean this to any some journalists that I know, but some of the sycophantic journalists that you get with English managers and... Like,
he was saying the other day, you really hate Darren Lewis.
Me and you, Darren.
He was standing 2 metres away, and he's a big lad. I actually quite enjoyed it, primarily as well because we played a decent team. Yeah, we lost 3-2, but I think we'd have learned some things from that. I think whoever watching would have learned.
It's all about learning, I don't know.
We could have played some rubbish team and lost sort of 3-4. Just quickly, while we're on international football, did you see Gary Speed's 14-year-old son went into the dressing room after the testimonial, and he basically said, have you seen the press conference with Coleman?
Yeah.
Coleman sort of half broke down, but he came into the dressing room, which, as a 14-year-old, you can't underestimate how much balls that takes, and just like... And to have the composure to go in, and he basically said, my dad always said to me, you can't give any more than your best, and you boys gave your best tonight, so he didn't say
that's going to be goosebumps. Yeah. Goosebumps.
And he said...
It was a little breeze just then.
No, I'm putting it down to that.
And he looked at him and he said, my dad's always said that, and tonight you gave your best, so that was good enough.
Also on international football, there was another former England manager taking charge of a team last night, and that was Peter Taylor with Bahrain. God, they're playing what? Indonesia.
Barney.
They needed to win.
Junior Lewis play for him.
He's got a nan.
Basically, Bahrain needed to win and win quite heavily in order to get through. And hope results went their way. They played Indonesia. They won 10-0.
Oh yeah.
No, and Indonesia are no slouches,
aren't they?
But they might be investigating it. But Qatar still managed to get the draw. Bahrain. So despite winning 10-0, Bahrain went out.
Ah, right.
Unbelievable. But Pete Taylor, yeah, the mighty have fallen.
Never mind. All right, any other news? Let's open it out.
Some news. There's a lot of talk about goal line technology.
Oh, there is.
Last weekend, AC Milan Juventus at the San Siro.
Yeah.
AC Milan are top, Juventus second. Juventus got a game in hand and they're a point behind. AC Milan go 1-0 up. Then Sully Montari, for AC Milan.
What minute did they go 1-0 up? Just knowledge is the bomb and all that.
37.
I think it was a bit earlier
Pumpy flops,
that's it. I think they've got Sully Montari and Kevin Prince-Boateng. I think Matt Taylor's playing on the left wing for now.
Where is Matt Taylor?
He's at Bolton.
Matt Taylor's at West Ham.
Oh, he is, you're right, yes.
Bolton incarnate.
Yes, but they went 1-0 up, then Sully Montari scored, but Buffon clawed it, Roy Carroll-esque, from behind the line. They didn't get it.
It was a mile behind them.
Yeah.
Juventus, towards the end of the game, equalised 1-0. Can you imagine if in the United City game at the end of the season, if the title's on the line, ghost goal costs one of the teams the title? And there's 1 point with the game in hand, isn't it? Ridiculous. And it.
Because I read yesterday that they're not only the FIFA are getting the ball are getting together. They're not only discussing the goal line technology. They're also discussing red cards. Have you heard about this? Because in light of Gareth Bale's, I still reckon it was a penalty. Anyway, but the whole point of getting a red card,
then you're talking about when they rescind them or something.
No. For the fact that if you're the last man and you make a tackle, then it might be down to a yellow card. If you genuinely make an attempt for the ball and you mistime it, it's a yellow card because on the back of potentially someone diving or it not being a foul. If you then get a red card for being the last man and you get a 3-game ban for a tackle that you never even put in.
Yeah,
they're talking about possibly getting harder rules for diving, and also lesser rules for for if you're the last man. See, I think it's sensible.
I don't agree. I think that...
As long as you don't shout about it, we're going to be right.
If the referee has made the decision that that was a foul, then send him off.
Then why wasn't the keeper or Gibbs sent off in the Spurs game?
I guess argument was that...
Do you know what? Not totally unrelated to that. If a goalkeeper comes racing out, so say... who was brought down for that penalty?
Bale.
Say Bale is running through on goal and Chesney came out and took him out outside the area, there'd be a free kick and it'd be a red card. But invariably, if it's in the area, you get a penalty and a yellow card, or sometimes a penalty and not even a booking. I've noticed that recently.
Yeah.
For some reason, if the keeper's out of his area,
because you're thinking the penalty is a penalty.
But I mean, what would you have rather taken? Bale's running through, taken out outside the area, red card and a free kick, or would you rather go into the area, penalty, yellow card?
On the basis of the result, definitely a red card and a free kick.
It would also depend on what time of the game it was, I think. Obviously, if it's 80th minute, he's going to take the pen. But it's an interesting one, and it's something I thought the other day during the Gilles game, because exactly the same thing happened. Our keeper floored this guy, it was through on goal, he did it in the area, and I don't even think he got a yellow in the end. It's just inconsistent.
The problem is that they're
and
gonna,
he saved it.
It's down to the problem with them changing the law, though, because the way it is now, it's clear cut. In theory, it's clear cut. But the way that they're looking to change it is that it's more down to interpretation, and then you get people in the back of refs, and then it starts getting messy.
Yeah. So is that the FA or FIFA that are doing that?
I think it's FIFA.
Because a couple of things that the FA have done this week, they brought in a new law to stop players betting. Have you seen this?
No, but
not just
no.
players.
Go on, officials,
tea ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, it's not just their own league they can't bet on or their own team.
They're not allowed to bet on any football whatsoever.
Pretty much any competition that their team were in. There's very stringent sort of guidelines. So it's a bit of an interesting one. But it was about time they put a rubber stamp on it and said, right, this is what you can and can't do. Yeah. At least there's no excuses now, because you have players like tweeting saying Joe Barton got in trouble with it the other day because he was talking about a result.
Predicting match results.
I mean, what's going to happen to the Football Focus thing where they challenge Mark Lawrenson?
Yeah, but Loro's not connected to any club.
Not get footballers on there doing that?
No, it's celebrities.
No, it's always celebrities or retired. It's always
good knowledge again.
It's always like the bassist that hard fighting stuff that they have on there.
The mockers. We were talking the other day about who was it that got done for the? It was Ravel Morrison, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Three more players charged by the FA.
Yeah,
homophobic comments. Noel Ranger.
This is tweeting.
Noel Ranger, Manny Smith, who's a Walsall player, and Federic Makeda.
Makeda.
What?
Spell it out. How his name's pronounced.
Federico.
It's not
Federico. You don't know him, do you? All right.
Kiko Makeda.
Mike's chum, who he knows how to say the name of. Makeda, then. All right. On loan at QPR. Don't know exactly what they've said, but the FA released a statement the other day saying that they've charged him for improper conduct, bringing in the game into disrepute.
It didn't actually say what the tweets were. No, I couldn't find out what they were.
They had until yesterday, because we were recording this on Thursday, day after the England game. They had until yesterday to appeal. So I don't really know what they did, but I mean, they only fined Morrison $7,000 in the end. But I think it's more of a statement, just saying you can't do this.
At the end of the day, had Morrison or Makeda or Manny Smith or anyone else put a racist comment on there, they'd get a ban. Yeah. So for homophobia, it should be the same.
I appreciate that. Right, anyone else? Or anyone else?
A quick note on Northwich Victoria.
Yep.
Malfield, we've got a new manager.
Yep.
He's left after three games. The club is in disarray. They've now got Martin Foyle, Port Vale legend and former York City manager. So another
Foyle's deep, war.
Exactly.
Another what? Another deep.
He's another decent quality manager.
He's a decent
for
name
someone
for him,
in the Northern Premier League, but it's a bit upsetting to see the club in such disarray.
If they do need some help at half time, they could get the Bournemouth chairman.
Yes.
To bring his wife along. Did you see this?
No. I saw that, yeah.
Bournemouth lost at the weekend 1-0 at home to NK Dons. And I don't like NK Dons winning anyway. They've got a new chairman who's a Russian. His name is Maxim Demin, which is quite a good name in itself. And his wife, Mrs. Demin, went into the dressing room at half time and gave part of the team talk. If she'd done that, they might have won.
Or been slightly distracted.
Yeah, but she went in. Basically, they've said that she didn't do anything within the team talk. And the chairman, Eddie Mitchell, phoned up BBC Radio 5 Live and they had to cut him off because he swore at Mark Chapman three times. So in the end, they had
legend.
She went in and went, if you win, you'll get a piece of this.
No, she can't. Well, she might have done that.
I'd be more worried if I was the owner and his wife nipping down to a load of half-dressed blokes at half-time.
Yeah. This is a quote from Eddie Mitchell, the Bournemouth chairman, who's the Russian co-owner, obviously knows him or whatever, told Radio 5 Live, Mrs. Deming, who went in and did it, she's not very intelligent, she can't speak... she's not very intelligent, she can't speak a lot of English, she just wished them well. I think what he means right. there is...
To be honest, that's probably
not
better.
Football intelligent, rather
that's
than...
probably better than most of Claudio Ranieri's team talks were in Chelsea.
Oh, even Fabio Capello, they probably didn't have a word he was saying. He could have brought his wife down.
Did you see, I think it was one of the Man United defenders or someone that came out and said, David De Gea, don't worry about all the stick he's been getting in the media.
Can't understand it.
Johnny Evans, yeah.
Because you can't understand a word he's saying.
He's just eating donuts in the corner. I don't know what's going on. One last thing from me. Shanks, the cat, is what they named the cat that came onto the pitch during the Liverpool Shanks. Versus... It was 0-0, wasn't it?
After Andy Carroll's shooting ability.
Good game.
He was basically a stray. So they picked him up outside the ground or whatever, and they put him, and they were going to get him rehoused, and he's run away again. So he's just, and apparently he's known as a stray tabby cat, and it's just what they do.
Well, maybe he'll let us know on his Twitter feed what's going on with.
Good. And Michael Jupiter scored another own goal. Did anyone say that? He scored two own goals the other day and one up the right end. He just scored an own goal. They drew Oxford United, drew 1-1 against Macclesfield, I believe.
Michael Jupiter. He's still playing football.
He's still banging the goals in. Unfortunately, at the wrong end.
I remember I used to have a Premier League annual, something. It must have been about 96, 97, 97, 98, and it said the England team in 5 years, and he was the captain.
Brilliant.
Oh, dear. It's great.
One more thing. I saw it earlier today or yesterday, but I am not going to lie. I had a little look at old Sean's notes over there. I saw Gary Megson down there.
Alright.
He's been at the chop, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Gary Megson's
gone. Were you going to mention that, Sean?
Yeah, I was, but I've forgotten, so well done.
I was just going to say, any other thing, and Sean's been sitting there saying nothing for 10 minutes.
I'm going to mention it.
Well done,
Third place.
I know, it's about as ridiculous as Lee Clark's second, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I was managing Charlton or Sheffield United, I'd be seriously concerned about my job.
Sheffield Wednesday fans have said that the football wasn't very good. That's the only thing they've got. They never liked him.
When you hire Gary Megson,
nobody ever likes Gary Megson.
This is true, but I think he would have got him up. They just more to the point. They said he was one loss away from the sack.
Yeah, it turns out he was
one. Yeah, one derby win away from the sack. He won the derby and he still couldn't get it.
Their greatest chance for a promotion push to get rid of him now. Really?
They've got someone lined up, haven't they? They must have. They're talking about
Lee Clark.
No, he's his third favourite.
They're talking about
Cardiff boss, the old Cardiff boss,
Dave Jones.
Yeah, he's heavily.
That would have been a really, really good chance for you to get the monkeys gag in if you hadn't done it already.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's pulling back. I have one more thing as well. I would say that Carlos Tevez is back in a Man City shirt, but by the look of him, I think he was back in two Man City shirts together.
He was doing a bit, wasn't he? Let's be honest.
And he's growing a beard.
Has he?
He's didn't notice
that.
Beard.
That's a hide his ugly face.
It doesn't hide it very well.
It's about time he grew something,
isn't it? So, how bad do you feel?
Not as bad as he probably did at the time.
It's about time he grew something, isn't it?
On the website, you put a blog up the other day. Yeah. What's his name, that guy?
David.
David, spelt weirdly. Yeah. It's amazing. He's top five. I hope there is only five.
Although he managed to not put the link up properly.
I know, yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
Never mind. It's up there. You can click the link.
Paste it.
Yeah, which was pretty spectacular. Also this week we've got the latest Football Fans Down Under podcast on there, which is quite good. They missed one. There's a guy called, I've been asked to mention him because apparently he listens, DJ Fernsey, wherever you are. Apparently they do what we do. They very basic recording. We use the phone. They ticked up and he was like, no, I'll do it this week. And he brought some sort of special recording for his DJ box and stuff like that, recorded it, and it didn't work.
Stick with your iPhone.
Exactly. If it's not broke, don't fix it, Fernsey. So their latest podcast is up as well, so get on that. There'll be some stuff on there this week. Right, quickly, podcast burning question. As you know, Bath City, name the stadium, and they've asked me, they've sent me the press release, and they've asked me to mention the URL. It's www.namethestadium.co.uk.
When did
just
it
quickly,
shut?
Not for a couple of weeks yet. Not for a couple of weeks yet. And that he's going to be announced on the 9th of April.
We're going to have to put a tenner in, aren't we?
We're doing it.
Steady on, mate.
I got so excited there, I'm knocking over beer. As you were at the bar for 20 minutes, we were talking about it, and we're going to put the money in today. Brilliant. So, and our official entry is Football Podcast Stadium, or we want to mention Twerton Park's doing that. So we're going to think about what we're going to do, but we'll let you know.
Can I suggest the name The Bubble, just so their address is The Bubble Bath?
Right, that's your one, Doug. Because the podcast burning question is, if you won it personally, what would you rename it? I would go for the Jim Rollo Stadium. For the reason being,
your favourite kids TV show's King Rollo.
No, club captain Jim Rollo has made over 450 appearances for Bath City, and he was basically like, if anyone wins it, can you name it after me, please? I just like the audacity of that. So if I won it personally, I would call it the Jim Rollo Stadium.
Fair.
And it's probably a good gag in there about like saving the last Rollo or whatever you want to do. But
how Bath City always roll over for their opponents.
There you go. There you go.
There's not a good gag in there. There's a couple of crap ones though.
When we enter for our 50 quid, we also get 4 tickets to their game on Easter Monday when they're going to do the draw at like half time or whatever.
How are we going to work that one out then?
Well, we're not going to go.
I'll be in the north.
But it's quite a good initiative because you pay £50 for entry, that's 4 tickets. That's usually worth, recommended retail price, £56.
Oh,
so it's £6 cheaper to go.
To enter.
Yeah.
To enter.
Yeah. To enter and get 4 tickets. We probably won't go. We're offering out. We got 4 tickets to it. So
why not? Why not a trip to Bath?
Yeah, and if anyone listeners want to go, then we can sub them. Yeah. We can let them do that. We're not going to pay for your train fare. We've already given out a Simply Red CD this week on the podcast quiz. There'll be another podcast quiz tomorrow.
To be fair, with the podcast, money's too tight to mention. I'm not sure we can afford it.
I was going to say, I bet the winner thought it fell from the stars. But
brilliant.
It's like a fair
brilliant. God, I hate the fact that Mick Hook's not supports Man United.
Dan, what would you name the stadium if you could?
The Rubber Ducky Stadium.
Right, yeah.
Something Bath related, so I didn't even
Something Bath related. At least I went Rubber Ducky.
Yeah, that was good.
Jay, any Darren Bent Memorial Stadium for his leg?
Yeah, maybe all the
stuff. We haven't talked about Wigan Villa yet, have we? No, we're never Geno. Hey, have you got anything to add to this debate?
No, not really.
No, good, we'll move on. Melbourne Heart.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Actually, we could name it after Stuart Hall's firstborn.
Yeah.
Whatever he calls his kids.
He's going to call him Jerry, either sex.
After Jerry Francis.
I'm willing to put a fiver on that. It'll come out with a mullet.
on the official press release, they actually suggest...
What, of Stu Bailey?
On the Bath City official press release, they actually suggest that you could do the... very dramatic way to pop the question. Just imagine the Marry Me Susan Stadium for a whole year.
And she said no.
Fuck you, Susan Stadium. Maybe.
Yeah, I want to change the name.
And also, Bath have told me that a third of their entries so far have come from Norway.
Really?
Yes. Basically, there was a tabloid, the biggest tabloid in Norway is called the VG or something. I can't remember what he put in the email. And they did a big article on it. So they've had loads of people from Norway sending in their £50 or €50, whatever it translates to do it. So there you go. Right, Melbourne Heart,
Melbourne Heart, it's been a couple of weeks. It's been doom and gloom. But not anymore!
Now I think we're mental.
We got a few blocks from Café Rouge.
Yeah.
There we did. Not only, right, after the 3-0 loss to Newcastle, the Heart bounced back. They were playing bottom of the league, to be fair, but they got a 1-0 win. So
excellent.
They beat Gold Coast United 1-0. Goal
work.
From substitute Eli Babald.
Come on, Coxon, I couldn't pronounce a name and you were bang on.
That's a lot
that, that was perfectly pronounced. I think you're fine. The Babalj family are close friends of mine.
We are we're getting evils from a waiter at a Café Rouge now. Basically, where we are...
Maybe his name's Babalj.
It's a she, Sean. I know you're looking the wrong way, but that's definitely a woman. Yeah, we're in Henry's, which is a bit lively. It's a little bit...
But it gets even
Sun's
better,
out.
Lads. It gets even better. They beat bottom of the league 1-0 to get the 3 points they needed. On the back of that, they've only gone and beaten Central Coast, top of the league, 1-0 the next
Mariners.
Game.
Yes,
they did.
1-0
win.
I didn't
know
that.
We watched a bit of the previous game, didn't we?
We did,
Coast. They were all over them.
Yeah.
Were the Mariners' defence all at sea?
Oh, God.
Oh, there we are. Bring it back down.
And,
I'm trying to pacify
Café. It was our man. Eli Babalge again. Yeah, he got the winner.
That is good. I like that. Two wins in. Great
wins in a row. And then next game is Brisbane Roar.
Can I just stop you there? I like the way you put "roar" in capital letters. Yeah. Like you've got a roar.
Brisbane
Roar.
Who haven't beaten Hart yet this season? Hart beat them at their ground earlier on the season. And they drew the game after, and so yeah.
What Brisbane Roar? Are they great?
Oh.
It's a tiger anyway. It doesn't even work.
Tigers roar as well.
Coxon, true or false?
True or false? Right.
We're going to sweep through this. We are on 44 minutes already.
Today, I must say happy birthday to Josh McEachran, Jimmy Traore.
He's going.
Yes. There we go. Jimmy Traore, Aaron Vinter, Paul Le Guin, former Rangers manager, and also WHO frontman Roger Daltrey and annoying popstress Kesha. But the man we're focusing on...
I think it is Kesha.
There we go.
Sure,
it's the dollar
Kesha
sign that changes the pronunciation. But today I'm
just
talking...
Like to say, I'm 2 for 2 in this right now. Yeah.
Haven't we done 3?
No, we've done.
Someone was mugging me off on Twitter the other day, just because I'm rubbish at it. I was alright, fair enough.
Right. Well, today is about Sunderland saviour Martin O'Neill, whose birthday is today. He's X amount of years old. Here's your questions. Number one, Martin O'Neill is an avid criminologist and could regularly be spotted at the trial of the Yorkshire Ripper in the 1980s.
I bloody hope that's true.
I think it is.
And number two, Martin O'Neill is an avid country music fan and counts Garth Brooks amongst his friends. Garth Brooks. not Garth Crooks, not the Tottenham... person from the 80s.
Tottenham person. So eloquent.
He was on loan at United as well for a period. No, Garth Brooks, the biggest selling country music star of all time.
Is he better at questions than Garth Crooks? I bet he probably is.
Yeah.
So, you've run the cup. How did it feel?
Good. Yeah, next question. Well done, Garth. What a stupid name. Sorry. Don't like Garth
There's
Brooks.
Your question. So, is it criminology or country music?
Either of those two.
Criminology from Jerome.
Yeah, I'm getting criminology.
Criminology as well.
He wants to get his right.
And the fact that Staples has got not one right yet so far, I'm going to go with the other one, just on the hope that Staples is wrong and I'm right.
Well, bear in mind, so you're going country music.
I'm going
bear in mind
music.
That Randy Lerner, obviously, was his boss, Aston Villa, and he's American. The answer is criminology.
Yes!
Come on.
Have that cafe room.
He is a massive criminologist. Yes, and Jimmy Nicol, his former roommate from Nottingham Forest, used to talk about how he used to bring case notes given to him by the Nottingham Police Force for fun when he was on away trips so he could leaf through them. He used to visit crime scenes and just have a look around.
Brilliant.
You could
see him on CSI Villa, couldn't you?
CSI Sunderland.
Yeah.
Emil Heskey. Just a criminal, isn't he? Let's be honest. Good investigations. Well done,
Coxon. That was a good one. That was a very good question.
I'm going to miss out player spot here because I haven't looked at it and we're on 46 minutes. So
I like your honesty.
You can email... Yeah, honesty is the best policy, isn't it? Let's be honest. I don't want Martin O'Neill to come around and arrest me. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, which has got a tiny bit of love, mostly from me, even though two boys to my left said they were going to look at it.
To be fair, I've been in Berlin.
Facebook.
No, because I'm getting the stick as well.
Facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. You've got to put a "the" on it. When Simon said it up, he didn't really think about that. Talking of which, if you've got any complaints, straight through to @SimonHead, as always. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. We've got a shed load more followers. We lost a load because basically we didn't tweet much, and then I started doing it and I tweet quite a lot, so a lot of people probably thought, I don't know who these people are and I'm going to delete them, but we've got a load more followers recently. I don't really know why.
You're basically bigging yourself up then.
No, because I lost the load as well.
Well,
so, but yeah. we're recovering the masses.
Your fat Adriano picture went viral.
It went mental. It went absolutely crazy.
Individual Twitter accounts as well.
Yes, you can. If you want to publicise your own boring individual Twitter accounts, you can.
Well, it's what we used to do.
I can't be bothered.
if you follow the football podcast, eventually you'll work out where we all are. But it's at Jim Staples, at Michael Coxon.
At the Boy Silver.
At the Boy Silver.
At Milladonna 10.
And Jay, what is yours these days?
Astro Mundo.
I liked what Jizzle Mizzle or whatever. That's what it should be.
I was told to change it.
It sounded like something from the McDonald's menu. I was never going to remember.
Would you order something? Yes, I would.
Jizz.
Yes, I would.
The McJizz. The McJizz. Right, that's it. You are changing your Twitter name to the McJizz.
You can follow us via the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk.
Email us.
We've done email already. First thing I did, mate. Banter
Complaints.
At Football Podcast. Complaints with Dennis. On the website this week, we'll have to show up on Thursday afternoon stroke evening, that's as always, because Thursday is the podcast day.
Thursday, podcast day.
We're going to go before Kefa Ridge ejects us. Bye.